welcome to a special edition episode where we chat with Grin customers, or as I like to call them, Grinfluencers. You will get to hear about their influencer program, how they integrate Grin into their workflow, their thoughts on influencer marketing, and other rabbit holes we dive into. My guest in today's episode is Mike Watts, who is the founder and CEO of Love Handle. Love Handle creates custom printed smartphone grips. They are the phone accessory that you never knew you needed, but soon will not be able to live without. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Mike, thank you for joining me on Grin Gets Real. I am very excited to have you as our guest.
Thank you for having me on, Katya. It's my honor.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's get started. Let's share a little bit about who you are and, you know, your latest venture, the company that you represent. We'd love to hear a little bit about Love Handle, what it is.
Yeah, great. Well, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've been a full-time entrepreneur since 2005 when my wife and I had our third child and decided it'd be a great time to quit my job and start a business. And so...
Makes sense.
Right. We just, risk takers deluxe, and we just keep working hard and trying to get ahead and live the American dream. And we've been blessed because it's really worked out. The last three companies that we've started have become multi-million dollar successes. And today we run Love Handle. We have we just crossed 30 today, full-time employees here. We manufacture 100% of our products right here in the USA and Texas. And we make a low profile, comfortable smartphone grip that is really catching a lot of momentum out there because people tend to carry their phones everywhere and need a good way to hold them. So we are very excited about the future. We've got a neat product called the Love Handle Pro that launches actually in about a week from now. So maybe by the time your listeners hear this, they can actually get one. But it's got a kickstand built in. It's magnetic, so you can stick your phone to anything metal and wow your friends. And so we're just really excited about the trajectory here. And we really do want to stand for something as a brand. Each one of my brands has always had a give back component. And so we'd love to be able to partner with the artist community to create cool collections. And then also with the nonprofit community to do fundraising. And to me, that's the best part of the business.
And you are a new Grin customer, which is fantastic. You are running your influencer program using the tool Grin, which I'm really excited about. And I was really excited to just kind of share your story and your knowledge as an entrepreneur and the role that marketing takes with it. Now, before we dive into just kind of your program itself, I'd love to hear about what your thoughts are on the role of marketing when you are starting a new company.
Well, obviously, marketing is a necessary part of a business. A lot of people come to me, they have an idea, and it's just an idea for a little simple product, right? And all they're really focused on is how to make it and what to make it or what to call it. And they don't really even think about who's going to buy it or why they're going to buy it or how they're going to get to the person that might want that or need that product. And so I tend to be talking about marketing a lot with aspiring entrepreneurs, because it's a piece of the equation that's absolutely critical. And it does require some forethought to think about how are we going to get our message out? How are we going to communicate the value of our product?
Yeah. And so before we even dive into also influencer marketing, tell us a little bit about what you were doing with Love Handle when you first started to market.
Yeah. So we figured out early days that our product did its own best job of sharing the word about itself, right? So what I mean by that is that if I would get this product into people's hands, that they would fall in love with it. And so what we started doing is just massive amounts of sampling. But the only real efficient way to do that was trade shows. So we found ourselves at dozens of trade shows every quarter of all types with lots of product, giving away thousands of units and putting them on people's phones. And I guess in a way that was influencer marketing and trying to get them in, but we were more of a shotgun approach. And so that's why I'm so excited about Grin, because it's allowing us to be more of a rifle. And so we can really focus in on who we want to build a relationship, who do we want to purposefully give these samples to, and then create win-win propositions from there.
Well, and you just said something that you guess that is influencer marketing, which leads me into my next question. How do you define an influencer?
Well, that's a great question. I think, Katya, I think we're all influencers. I think every single one of us has a circle of influence. Now, there's a lot of people out there, and it's become quite popular to try to grow your circle of influence into its own brand. But when I teach at some local universities, and I tell these students, I was like, regardless what you end up doing in the world out there, even if you work for a company, mm-hmm. you are a personal brand. And the people that are your followers on social media and your friend group and your family, that's your circle of influence. And as a brand, to align with those people that have the right types of influence, that is makes a lot of sense. And the only way to do that before I put products on TV, right? I did infomercials. I was the infomercial king, right? I was having to buy airtime on, you know, whatever NASCAR channel to try to get to that demographic. But I couldn't control who really was going to hear that. And it was still very diluted about the audience I was going after. And that's the blessing these days, is because it's enabled us to really focus in on which demographic or which audience we're really trying to get after.
Yeah. And you bring up a really interesting point. I mean, specifically with Love Handle, I think that it lends well to influencer marketing, but I'd love your opinion on this, especially since you have multiple businesses and you are a serial entrepreneur. If you think that influencer marketing is something that is only created for or works for specific things, right? Like,
Definitely there is. Now, some things are always going to lend themselves to be easier, right? Mm-hmm. Like for me, it's very easy to say, let me send you a no obligation sample that's going to work instantly on your phone. And you're going to know within 5 minutes if you love it or hate it, right? At the end of the day, I see influencer marketing as marketing, especially going forward. I mean, it's always been that way, but it's been So even when you bought an ad on Facebook, you're trying to get to an audience and give them a message that's with some credibility, whether it's just building your brand or just pushing people into a funnel or whatever it is. The great thing about the influencer strategy and partnerships is the authenticity that comes ingrained in the message, because it's coming from someone that they already trust, or from a channel that they already trust. If you look at Facebook ads and Instagram ads and TikTok ads, the ones that are most successful are the ones that are almost camouflaged as real content. Those are the ones that perform the best. So it tells you that real content is what people want. So why not partner with an influencer that can help you create real content for their audience that delivers value across the whole gamut?
It makes me think of reading reviews, right? Like I always go back to that when I'm thinking about influencer marketing. Like whenever I'm purchasing something, like there's a brand is not going to tell me, well, we're okay. but a review is going to tell me, right? And I always look at the 5-star review and I look at the 1-star review. Like, what is that 1-star telling me? Because they want to give it to me straight. And I think that that's a really good example of influencer marketing. And I think that a lot of people don't realize that reviews are user-generated content. That is an influencer. The fact that you're looking at it and you're taking advice from a review, that is an influencer. They have influence over you. And you don't necessarily know their name, but you're also willing to follow people on social. So it kind of lends to the same thing. Now, you didn't always implement influencer marketing. And now you do. Now you also have a tool like Grin to help you really scale the program and build it out. How much of your overall marketing strategy does influencer marketing take? How big is that piece of the pie?
Yeah, well, it's been growing for sure. It's always been part of it, but it was always difficult for me to scale it because mm-hmm. in the busyness and the chaos that is innate to an entrepreneurial startup, relationships will get lost. Among a bunch of other things, Grin has allowed us to then keep those relationships through the CRM. We did not have a good CRM, so this solved multiple problems for us. But the CRM allows us to then set reminders to then follow up and communicate on a regular basis with these folks and keep the relationships going. We were able to get some really big. I mean, I've got one influencer out there that has almost 30 million followers that uses my product every day, takes a lot of pictures in the mirror, and all came from just the purposeful, let's just see the right people and wait for good stuff to happen type of strategy. But I think Grin's going to allow us, it is already proven to allow us to move much, much faster and then quantify. I've never been able to measure the impact. I've always just felt like it was working, hoped it was working, you know, keep spending money to go to a show or to send samples or whatever. But now last weekend we saw, you know, several thousand dollars in sales that came directly from the Grin campaign that we just started. So obviously it works.
Yeah. You don't have to tell me twice. I think that it is really interesting when we talk, you know, because I talk to a lot of just kind of different customers and people who are trying to dip their toes into influencer marketing. And, you know, I used to run an agency myself too, and I was tasked with running an influencer program. And what my client gave me was a spreadsheet, and that was a nightmare. I can't keep track of everything on a spreadsheet. It's hard to keep track of those conversations. So the value of a CRM is so key, I think, when you are trying to trying to manage and maintain a program, right? And as long as you've got that handled, that's when like scaling your program becomes a huge opportunity, right? Like, okay, now I'm not spending all of my time in what I like to call busy work of things, right? Like, okay, well, I've got to put this into the spreadsheet. Did I do that? Did I not do that? I've got another tab for like the tasks. And I'm super process oriented. So I love the fact that, you know, for one, that you're using Grin and that you're already seeing value because you are relatively new to Grin, correct?
Yeah, we've only had it online for about 2 months now total.
Yeah, I love the fact that you're already seeing value and you're getting time back as well, which is important. Now, we've talked a lot about just kind of influencer marketing in general. Do you think that it's a fad? Would you say, like, this is one of those mythbusters that I like to bring up, right? Like, this influencer marketing is just, it's all the rage right now. It's a bubble that's going to pop. Or do you think it's something that's going to last?
Well, it's definitely going to last. And people that are calling it a bubble are going to get left behind. It's like saying, I don't need to worry about really creating a website. Like, I used to sell websites on my side hustle when I still had my corporate job. I would walk door to door and try to convince people they needed websites. And they're like, we don't need a website. We have the Yellow Pages. And they're perfectly content to just keep a Yellow Page listing because they didn't want to spend $500 for me to build them a website. They just didn't. That's just a fad. People aren't really going to open their. And now looking back, like, that's crazy, right? I think it's going to be the same thing. And a few years from, we're going to look back and we're like, oh my goodness, I could have really been net, because the walls are going to start going up. The influencers are going to become more aware of the value they're bringing and demand more. And it'll get harder one way or another. It'll get harder to build authentic relationships. Being early matters. And so especially if your competitors are not doing it, you have a real opportunity to jump out ahead of them and build relationships with these influencers that can move the needle immediately. It's not even something you got to wait for, right? It's like they can drive sales for you today. And it's most especially if you're on the Shopify platform and you're selling physical products on Shopify, then this is a no-brainer because you can drive, it integrates, it's super easy. And, you know, all your products are available for you to gift to employees. Because we've tried that before Grin. We were trying to get people to give codes out, but we couldn't even give codes out because they would go on and I couldn't even figure out a way to do free shipping. So I was still asking an influencer to go in and pick out their stuff, even with this $100 code, but they still had to pay shipping and they didn't really like that either. So there's a lot of little nuanced things that have been well thought out. But to answer your question, influencer marketing is definitely here to stay. It's not going anywhere, but it's still early days. So anybody hearing this, it's still early. You are early still. And it's only going to go up from here.
You have said this a few times, and I don't know if any of the listeners would have picked up on this, but you continue to use the word relationship. And I think in the evolution of influencer marketing, when it really first kind of came onto the scene, it was like the celebrities, it was the macro influencers with a larger following, and it became very transactional. I'll give you this, it's pay for post, right? I'll post for you, you give me this amount. But you have mentioned relationships. So what role do you think relationships have in really creating a good influencer marketing program?
Well, for me, as I've built companies, one thing I've learned is that you need to understand who you are as a company. You need to understand what your values are. And you should use those in every decision that you make. When you're hiring employees, you should make sure that their value set aligns with your value set. Uh-huh. And when you partner in a relationship with someone who's going to amplify your message, they should also have the same or similar value set to you so that that message is authentic. Plus, it makes it so much easier to build a relationship with someone with a similar value set. And these influencers, you know, they're looking for a way to monetize it for sure. But at the end of the day, they also know they have to be true to who they are in order for that to translate to their audience.
What advice would you give to someone who is trying to do what you're talking about, building a relationship, mm-hmm. but doesn't also, because, you know, it's a representation of your brand too, how you say no. Like, what right. advice do you give to someone who says, who wants to decline a particular influencer for a paid for post?
Well, if they're just looking for money, if they just want it to be straight transactionally, that's not what, I mean, there are brands out there, right, that are just looking to throw money around and get a bunch of paid posts and get the brand awareness, and that's fine for them. But for me, that was one of the big reasons we chose Grin, was because it's different in that way. And it definitely is relationship first. And so when they say that, I say, look, I would love to work with you on a paid basis, which we do offer through affiliate partnerships, but we want to first sample you with our product to see if it's a good fit for you and for your community. And then we offer an affiliate program. If you only work with just flat fee pay for posts, we'll politely decline right now, but we'll keep you on our list in case we ever have a budget for that later.
That is great advice. This is exactly what I tell people.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that you said that. Well, because I think that it's important that people realize that even if it's a no, you don't have to be a jerk about it, right? Like, and yeah. that's not the only option. Like you said, you can do it gracefully. That's just not the program that we're running right now. If you would like to, if you love this product, we want you to post, and then you work your way through like an affiliate program. And that's essentially where you get your quote unquote brand ambassadors, right? Like people who love your brand, who, you know, will scream at the top of the mountains about Love Handle, right? Who will post, who will, you know, shout out the different designs. I mean, that's where the authenticity comes, right? When someone absolutely loves it, which is, you know, I think that that's where the success comes in from. What would you tell someone who is listening to you and then says, oh, that sounds like a lot of work, like to develop those relationships? Like, I really want to build a program. I want to get my word out. Like, is it, what essentially do you say to someone that's like, hey, that seems like a lot of time. Not sure that it's worth it.
Well, I would say that you're probably in the wrong business, because if you're not willing to work, then you're, you know, at least from my perspective as an entrepreneur, and if you're an entrepreneur out there listening and you're trying to say that sounds like too much work, then you need to go, you know, catch you a W-2 somewhere, because it's not for you. This, everything about entrepreneurship is work. But that said, anything worth anything is, you know, not going to come easy. What we've found is that our efforts are much more efficient using the Grin platform. And so what I specifically did was I reached out to the local university. I said, look, find people in the marketing department, sales department, the journalism department, and anybody looking for an internship. So we hired a young lady, literally just graduated. And we've got another person coming in right behind her that we've given seats at the Grin platform, and she spends all day, every day for $10 an hour and loves it. And she's getting great experience. She is going to be so much ahead of her competition, I think.
Yeah.
And she leaves our company with the experience and the sort of the know-how that she has about how products really get marketed these days. So she's getting a win there. And she's a great part of our team, really has a lot of fun, but it's not that expensive to put that time in. You don't have to do it. I mean, that's the lesson in entrepreneurship. Like, if you're not good at something, if you're not really the spreadsheet person or the detail person or the process person, yeah, well, then find somebody that is, because you're definitely good at something. So stay in your lane there, but then shore yourself up with people around you. So yeah, it's work, but anything worth doing is work.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think that when it comes to influencer marketing, that's, if you're going to spend your time in something, it is in developing those relationships so that you can get that authentic content, for sure. And, you know, I've just a couple more questions, I promise. We've talked a lot about just kind of brand awareness, and that's how, you know, you're leveraging influencer marketing, but how else are you going to get value? It's, I mean, brand awareness is great because people are posting, but does it stop there for you, or are you looking beyond that to be able to repurpose content and get value from, like, building your, I don't know, email list?
Well, for us, I think there's probably a lot of gems and value that we haven't yet uncovered here. It is nice to be able to get that content. Like, we just earlier today, we were planning out our trade show booth for the spring. And so we were able to go in and look through all of the posts that we've been tagged in. We have the original content there, and we're able to grab a really nice image that we're going to be able to use and have the rights to use for our booth, right? That was super useful. But, you know, there's a million other ways that it's great. And it's always going to be dependent a little bit on your product. For us, a good example is that there's a big trend right now in fashion influencers, and they are all day in. Katya, you probably watched some of them, I'm guessing. I'm going on a little
limb here. Because I'm a fashionista.
Yeah, you are. They're trying on outfits, right? And you're just trying to see what they're going. But you know where they are doing that? They're doing it in front of the mirror. And you know what you can see more than anything in front of the mirror is the back of their phone. And so
the love handle.
The love handle is there. And so what happens really is that you get these authentic questions from their audience to the influencer. Hey, what's that thing you have on your phone? Or what kind of case is that? Well, now it's a natural part of the conversation, and they're going to tell them, but then they might reach out to us. And if we haven't set them up for affiliate, they're going to be like, hey, could I get a code, or could I get a you know, link or whatever? And so then again, they're, so for me, that's a specific niche that I can go after, and it makes a lot of sense for us to go to.
You're an entrepreneur. And I'm sure that there are other entrepreneurs and marketers that could potentially be listening to this. I would love to get your insights on how much of an investment one should take with influencer marketing. And what I mean by that is, we've talked a lot about gifting to influencers or commission or paid for post, but we've also talked a lot about Grin and really investing in the right tool. How important do you think it is in investing in the right tool?
Well, it's definitely important, to the point that, I mean, we interviewed a bunch of, and there's a lot of great platforms out there, right?
Yeah.
But for us, Grin was the clear winner, because of the type of business that we have, the structure, the integrations particularly. And again, a lot of it came down to the authenticity, where it links, instead of them getting a message from a platform per se, they're getting it from me, from the founder of the company, that's saying, hey, I'm a fan of you. We have these same common values. I would love to gift you with this product. That gets a huge response rate. If they're getting a message from a platform saying, hey, this brand is interested in you, well, now it's sort of subliminally transactional, right? It's, you're almost setting them up for a transactional and not a relationship. And so that's one of the big things we liked about it. And as far as the budgeting for, I mean, a lot of startups right out of the gates probably won't be able to afford a platform like this. And I tell you, don't not do influencer marketing, because you can still do it sending a DM, you know, go like it, somebody's, go comment, go like participate. And that's what we were doing before. But when you're ready to level up and scale out and really be more purposeful about your influencer collaborations, then this will pay for itself 10 times over, because it's going to allow you to make sure that any of those relationships you start, you're going to be able to keep and cultivate. And if there are specific niches that you know will resonate with your product, you will be able to find them, and you'll be able to find people like them and scale that out. It's so difficult to go find someone like the fashion influencer space I'm talking about. There's a few key influencers out there we're able to push into Grin, and then it pushed me back out 14,000 other suburban white females that are also doing the same thing. And so now I can then scale that out and go find very similar, maybe smaller audience, maybe people that have never had a brand reach out to them before with just 5 or 10,000 followers. You know what? Think about 5 to 10,000 people. And even if Facebook or Instagram only serves it up to 20% or 10% of the 500 people, how much is that worth to you to get your brand message in front of 500 people from someone who they authentically trust and come to probably on a daily basis for their fashion or purchase advice? There is nothing better than that, I don't think. So
I agree 100%. Final question. You ready for it? This is a little fun part here. Any predictions for 2021 for social media? For social media, influencer marketing, where do you see this space going for 2021?
I think it's going to go bananas. Really,
I'll quote you on that.
Yeah, total bananas. In a good way, though, because I think that COVID has forced everyone to basically commune digitally, however that looks. If you're going to school, now you know how to do it digitally. If you were going to work, you know how to do it digitally. And so now I think there's this heightened level of digital connectedness that naturally is going to create. There's always been connectors, right? Even before there was even social media, there was always that, probably the lady at the hair salon that knew everybody and connected people that, oh, she needs this and he needs this and let's get them together or whatever. Those same people still exist. I think what the social media does is it sort of digitizes that. And so as we go forward, that will just continue to manifest itself and refine itself. People are going to be becoming more comfortable on camera, which is a big blockade to historically content being created out there. The tools are getting better. Your TikToks make it fun to do things. You can do things, you know, it's cross-generational. The mom gets to do a dance with her daughter and things like that. And so I think that people are just going to continue to rely on these platforms for everything, for their entertainment, for their shopping, for their community, for their work, for their school. It, you know, these digital screens are our platform, are our gateway into the world. So the mark utilizing that attention is essentially it. You know, if you're not watching TV, a TV ad is worthless, right?
Yeah.
So if you're watching your phone or you're watching on a computer all day long, well, then that's where the ad going to need to pop up. And the more authentically it can, the better. Now, it depends on what you're in. Or what your demographic is. TikTok is obviously up and coming. Instagram is sort of the mainstream. And then LinkedIn is a great place for people that are in B2B. And again, very starved for content over in LinkedIn. There's not a lot going on over there for content. So you can get tons of views if you're willing to put content out, but it has to be the right kind of content. So that's kind of a niche thing too. So I just think it's going to continue to grow, and I'm excited to be part of it. I'm just glad to be alive right now. It just makes marketing so much easier.
And fun. That's the creative part of it. Yeah. It's why I come back to the computer every day. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. I really, really appreciate you, especially working through our technical difficulties and staying on with me to just kind of share your story.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Katya. If any of you guys want to connect or have questions, I'm trying to make myself as available as possible. You can find me on Instagram at Mike Watts. I'm on LinkedIn too, and happy to help other Grinfluencers or aspiring Grinfluencers to do the best they can in the market.
Perfect. Thanks. Bye.
During our customer spotlight featuring Mike Watts, founder and CEO of Love Handle, he walks us through the entrepreneur's lens of influencer marketing, evolving his marketing strategy from trade shows to influencer marketing to build more brand awareness, had him looking for a tool that would help him level up what was working for him in the influencer space. Now, with an even more successful and continuously growing company, his focus on developing relationships with influencers to create authentic content led him to adopting Grin as his tool of choice to scale his program. Hear how he defines what an influencer is, the role of influencer marketing for his overall marketing strategy, and how he sees the future of digital evolving in 2021. Want more? Be sure to subscribe to the Grin Gets Real podcast to get the latest episodes and visit our website at grin.co. Until next time, keep grinning.